In a living room, a black and white movie's title cards appear on a projector screen. Monsters from Long Ago by Victor Frankenstein, starring Sparky as the monster from Long Ago. In the movie, a bull terrier wearing fake horns and a crest on its back starts to walk off screen.
Oh, I can't believe this.
That's right, Sparky, you're the star.
That's great.
Two hands try to keep the dog in frame.
Oh, Victor, you're in the movie.
My son is another Hitchcock.
Who? He's that fat guy on TV.
Smoke wafts from a prop volcano standing on the lawn in the background.
Oh, no! This is great!
An action figure rides atop a toy dinosaur which swings held up by wires. Sparky knocks a volcano over, then title cards read, The End, or is it?
That's my boy! Bravo!
A boy opens the room curtains.
Author!
Bravo!
Victor, hit the bell!
Victor bows.
I think Sparky looked cute.
He's not cute, he's handsome.
Sparky licks Victor's face.
Anybody want any chocolate chip cookies?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Sparky!
Victor holds a baseball. Sparky chases the bouncing ball down the front porch steps and returns it to Victor.
Come on, Sparky! Come on, Sparky! Good boy.
Victor's parents and a few guests head outside.
Sparky's a very talented dog.
He is.
Sparky! Sparky! Sparky!
Sparky chases his tail, then retrieves the ball as it rolls down the front walk.
Come here, Sparky! Come here!
Mrs. Frankenstein offers her guests cookies.
Here you go.
Come on, go get it.
Sparky chases the rolling ball out to the street and into the path of an oncoming car. Victor gets to his feet and lets out a wail.
No!
The ball comes to rest near a curb. Now storm clouds hover over a cemetery. A title appears, Frankenweenie. A grave marker shaped like a fire hydrant is carved with the letters R.I.P. Another, in the form of a fishbowl, features the name of the deceased, Bubbles, while the grave itself is a pile of gravel topped with an ornamental diver and treasure chest. Tall and narrow, Edward's grave marker is adorned with the sculpture of a long snake. On a cracked tombstone, text beneath an image of a cat with crosses for eyes reads, "Goodbye, Kitty." Nearby, another grave marker features a statue of a squirrel standing atop a pedestal reading simply, Earl. Shaped like a doghouse, Spot's tombstone features a portrait in relief of a canine, half its face covered in heavy shadow. The view ascends from the numerous grave markers to a hill beneath the dreary gray sky. Atop it, Victor stands with his parents, facing a tombstone taller than himself, crowned with a cross in the shape of dog bones. Mr. Frankenstein sets a hand on his son's shoulder, then his mom gives him a kiss. Victor's parents step away, leaving him alone before Sparky's final resting place with his head bowed. He lays a bouquet of flowers at the foot of the grave, then the view dissolves. Daytime, Victor stares glumly out the living room window as deluging water pours down the glass panes. The view pulls back to the front yard, revealing a distracted Mrs. Frankenstein holding a garden hose. Water from its sprinkler attachment completely misses the plants and sprays the window instead. Now an anatomical skeleton hangs in a classroom.
And so that class is what is meant by the old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day. All right, class, if we can turn to our science books, we'll pick up where we left off yesterday.
On a binder page above the name Sparky, Victor draws a doodle of a bull terrier. The teacher lifts a tray containing a preserved frog specimen.
Oh!
I'm glad we all have scientific minds. Now, class, this X-frog cannot move because it is, in fact, an X-frog.
He sets the tray down.
But let's see what happens when we introduce electricity into his system.
He uncaps the tip of an electrical stylus. Under Victor's mesmerized gaze, he slowly lowers it toward the amphibian. As the frog's hind legs spring up and twitch, Victor watches in amazement.
Now, of course, with a greater amount of electricity, we could make the frog move even more. Any questions?
Smiling, Victor looks up from his sketch, which now features a battery along with energy bolts jolting around Sparky. Later, school books under his arm, Victor races down a sidewalk of his suburban neighborhood. In the Frankenstein living room, his mom talks on the phone.
Seems pretty obvious. Hold on.
Hi.
Hi.
Victor, you okay?
Fine, Mom. Just great.
I got the day off. I'm making your favorite for dinner.
Roast beef?
I thought your favorite was chicken.
Chicken's just great, Mom. Excuse me.
She returns to her phone call.
Hi. Victor?
Yeah. He seems to be taking it fairly well.
Books lie piled in a bedroom, their titles including Life After Death, On Death and Dying, and Modern Chemistry. Hunched over his desk, Victor intently reads another book, Electricity and the Creation of Life. Scanning a page in wide-eyed wonder, he shoots a furtive glance off. Now, as his mom lounges on the sofa reading, Victor starts to sneak off behind her.
Got much homework tonight?
Just some science in a chapter, Huckleberry Finn.
She fails to look over as he hurries out of the room into the kitchen. He checks around, then, with a mischievous smile, grabs a toaster from the countertop. In the living room, his mother continues to give her book her full attention as Victor passes, arms laden with various items.
Found what you wanted?
Yep.
I hope it wasn't cake.
Nope.
In a neighboring yard, a mustached man glances over his shoulder while pruning some rose bushes. He approaches a fence separating his property from the Frankensteins and watches Victor exiting the garage carrying a box overflowing with assorted junk.
I'm helping my dad clean out the garage.
Well, by bringing it back into the house?
I'm just doing what he wants.
The neighbor does a keen-eyed double take. Meanwhile, Victor lugs the box into a hallway and nudges a door open with his elbow. Setting the box down, he shuts the door behind him. The view fades down, then back up to reveal the roof of the house with Victor standing in its open hatchway. A swing set stands perched on the roof, its chains dangling down to the attic below.
Why must I always be the one to put the cat out?
The neighbor carries a cat to his front porch. Victor drops a tool, then ducks into the hatchway as the neighbor looks over suspiciously. He tosses the cat outside.
I hope you run into a 10-foot mouse.
He eyes the Frankenstein's roof once more. Victor lies in bed, wide awake.
I just want to say goodnight.
He grabs a book.
Come in.
He opens it, then his parents pop their heads in the doorway.
We want you to know we're proud of how you're getting along.
I think I'll be just fine. I'm 10 years old already.
Well, then you should be able to read right side up.
He turns the book around.
Go back to your science fiction. We won't tell anybody.
Night.
We're right down the hall.
First, right past the closet.
Right.
Victor sets the book down and casts his covers aside, then grabs a shovel and fabric sack from the floor before climbing toward his window. Now, lightning flashes in the stormy sky above the pet cemetery. Shovel in hand, Victor crests the hill and stops before Sparky's grave marker. He plunges the shovel into the mound of dirt piled at the foot of the tombstone. Beneath a heavy rainstorm, he races down a sidewalk with the bulging sack slung over his shoulder. As lightning bolts zigzag across the stormy sky, he stands in the rooftop hatchway, shielded by an umbrella. He gazes skyward through the umbrella's clear plastic, then descends the ladder into the attic. Behind him, covered in fabric, Sparky's body lies across two swings held aloft by their dangling chains. He leans toward an aquarium topped with an electrical box containing a half dozen components. Nearby, flickering energy rises from a coil set into the glass carafe of an electric blender, disappearing as it reaches the air. As Victor tugs on a hanging cable, an umbrella rises through the roof hatchway and goes taut on its line, followed by several kites, one shaped like a bat. Victor works various controls, including one on a high-powered lamp shining down on Sparky. With a solemn expression, he touches the fabric covering his beloved deceased dog. Stepping to an upside-down bicycle, he hand-cranks a pedal. As the wheels turn, bolts of electricity crackle around the spokes and their spiral-patterned covers. Victor turns in amazement to see the second hand of a glowing wall clock spinning in dizzying circles. As lightning continues to crackle outside, he pulls the dangling cable and the swing's chains rise, bearing Sparky's body up with them. Victor follows the ascent with his hopeful gaze. Conveyed by a pair of pulleys attached to the swing set, the chains stop, leaving Sparky's body suspended above the roof. As lightning strikes near the swing set, the conduction causes energy to bounce between the light bulbs of several lamps in the attic. Arranged in a row, three reindeer lawn ornaments bounce back and forth on their own. Victor glances to a table and sees intense energy glowing inside the toaster's slots, followed by jets of flame. He looks up just as lightning strikes a rod mounted high on the swing set. Fists clenched, he reaches for Sparky's body as the chains lower the swings down onto an ironing board standing on the floor. As Victor presses his ear against the covered canine, the reindeer continue their incessant rocking. Victor straightens with a disappointed look, then listens again for any signs of life. The spinning second hand of the wall clock comes to a sudden stop. Victor touches the fabric. With a crestfallen expression, he runs a hand through his hair, then buries his face against his dog's flank. The view lingers on one end of the fabric as Sparky's tail begins to wag. At the other end, the dog starts licking Victor's hand. Wide-eyed, Victor slowly lifts his head. As Sparky sits up, Victor holds him close.
Sparky!
Morning. Victor shuffles past the dining table where his parents eat breakfast.
I don't feel so good.
His mom touches his brow.
He's not warm.
He plops onto a chair.
Maybe it was the chicken. Hey, you want some juice, champ?
Victor shakes his head, then face plants onto the table.
Maybe he's got the flu or something.
Yeah, the flu or something.
Or maybe you just don't feel like going to school.
No, it's flu or something.
We know you're sad, buddy, but you gotta go to school.
I can't go. I don't want to affect the whole school.
Oh, very noble.
His mom grabs a brown bag.
Here's your lunch. Now get a move on.
Bye.
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 He carries his books and lunch away. Later, as Mrs. Frankenstein hurries down the front walk, Victor spies on her from behind a tree. At the curb, she gets behind the wheel of a car. As the vehicle pulls away, the view glides over to Victor. Behind him, a stout neighbor wearing a house dress waters her lawn.
Forgot my lunch!
He waves to her, then steps away. In the tidied-up attic, Sparky lies on his side as Victor enters. He sets down a water pitcher and a doggy bowl with Sparky's name scrawled on it. Sparky leans over to sniff the empty bowl, revealing large stitches along his head along with metal bolts in his neck. Victor fills a glass, then pours more water into the dog bowl. As Sparky thirstily gulps his water, Victor taps the glass to the bowl. He takes a sip, then watches in bewilderment as water springs up from the sutures in Sparky's neck. Later, as Victor sits sleeping in a corner, Sparky stands and licks his face. He noses his way through the partly open door. A dog's eye view shows a set of stairs leading down. The perspective spins in a disorienting blur, then Sparky nudges his way through another door downstairs. He crosses a hallway's checkerboard tile floor, passing the kitchen. A doggy door in the front door swings open, revealing the porch beyond. Standing at opposite sides of the palm tree-lined street, two boys play catch. Sparky heads past them at a distance. One boy catches the ball, then stares off with a double take. Sparky steps from view onto a front lawn. The Frankenstein's stout neighbor waddles along the sidewalk as she follows a dachshund on a leash. Approaching the lawn, the dachshund plants its paws on the grass and strains at its leash. Sparky stands hidden behind some foliage.
It's nothing, Raymond. Let's go home.
Now, another dog's eye view glides swiftly through a sunlit backyard, past a fence, then to an open window. The Frankenstein's mustached neighbor enters a tool shed. He pulls the chain of a hanging fixture and a light turns on. The bulb flickers before shutting off. face bathed in shadow, the neighbor glances around suspiciously. The shadow of a pointy-eared head appears across the room. With an uneasy air, the man grabs a tool from a shelf and flings it in the shadow's direction. In a blur, something covered in plastic sheeting crashes down in front of him, then Sparky scampers out of the shed, leaving the drop cloth behind. Tearing past the yard of Raymond's owner, he knocks over a garbage can. She drops her hose in fright.
Did you see a dog or something?
He tried to kill my Raymond!
It coils around her ankle. Elsewhere, a teenaged girl does leg lifts along with her doll.
Barbie, you're not working hard enough.
Sparky approaches her playhouse, labeled Ann Chambers Workout. Then she turns to see his giant shadow looming in a window. Sparky scampers off while across the yard, the neighbor hurries from his house. As Victor wakes up, Ann and Mr. Chambers embrace in the yard.
What is it?
Sparky returns home. Gazing next door, Mr. Chambers sees the doggy door flapping. Victor follows Sparky across the tile floor of the entryway. Later, the Frankenstein station wagon pulls to a stop at a curb. With a fold of her long dress shut in the closed door, Mrs. Frankenstein gets out of the shotgun seat.
I'm tired.
Mr. Chambers approaches, clutching Anne's hand.
Hey! I've got to talk to you about that dog.
You know Sparky was hit. We don't have a dog.
Oh, yeah. Look, I don't mind if you got a new dog, but you can't let him run around scaring half the neighborhood.
But we didn't get another dog.
Look, would it make you feel better if I went in and checked for you?
Yeah.
As Victor's dad steps away with an incredulous look, his wife addresses Anne.
Honey, maybe you just imagined it.
I didn't imagine what I saw, and Rose didn't either.
Mr. Frankenstein opens the attic door to find Victor seated across from the dog.
Sparky, you know you're not supposed to go out. You could have gotten into trouble.
With a dazed expression, he backs out and shuts the door. On the sidewalk...
I'm sure there's a very logical explanation for all this.
Well?
Mr. Frankenstein returns.
There was no dog. It was probably an alley cat or something.
That's right. Probably an alley cat.
All right. But if I see it again, I'll be back.
What?
It was a cat! Look, could we talk later?
Mr. Frankenstein opens the attic door, then he and his wife stare with bulging eyes.
Victor!
It's only Sparky.
Later.
What do you mean, only Sparky?
I explained everything to you.
Honey, I know you explained it. We just don't understand.
We're trying to be reasonable, son. Don't you understand the implications of this thing? I just don't know what this means.
It means you don't have to go through house breaking another dog.
Guess not.
Your mother and I are trying to make some sense of this.
You know you haven't petted him yet?
Husband and wife exchange an uneasy look while Sparky pans obliviously, lines of stitches crossing his head and neck. As Mr. Frankenstein extends a hesitant hand, the bull terrier licks his fingers. Cringing, he wipes his wet hand with the other one. Standing near Mrs. Frankenstein, Sparky licks her face.
See, he still loves you.
Now, father and son step onto the porch. A neighbor across the way gazes suspiciously while tending to her garden. As Mr. Frankenstein smiles and waves, she turns away. Stepping cautiously onto the front walk, he locks eyes with Mr. Chambers, who collects his morning paper. He nods, but the older man stares back cagily before returning to his house. Rose stands gawking near a tall woman who leans down toward her ear.
I heard they have a lion in there. I saw it. It's worse and bigger.
People are weird.
They just don't understand.
But Sparky's not scary.
I know, if they just met him. Hey, Victor, let's introduce everybody to Sparky tonight.
Oh, Dad, not yet.
The longer we wait, the worse it'll be. Trust me, we'll have everybody over and we'll let them meet Sparky.
I don't know.
Victor!
The two neighbor boys stop.
Go on.
Bye.
Bye.
Nighttime, various neighbors wait anxiously in the Frankenstein's living room, including Mr. Chambers, who checks his watch. Mr. Frankenstein enters.
We've got plenty of dip.
As all eyes fix on him, he carries a platter of finger food over. Meanwhile, in Victor's bedroom, his mom runs some yarn through Sparky's ragged sutures and bites off the excess.
There. I think this is going to be just fine.
Maybe we should do it some other time.
It's too late for that, Victor. Come on, hon, let's go. Come on, Sparky.
So it really is just the same old Sparky that we all knew and loved.
Victor carries the panting dog over.
Ah.
Rose bristles.
That's it!
Sparky lunges. A woman falls over the coffee table, then a lamp comes crashing down. Sparky jumps excitedly among the frantic circle.
Sparky!
He scampers over the tiled floor and exits through the doggy door.
Sparky!
The frightened dog bounds along the sidewalk.
Sparky!
Victor gives chase. Back in the living room.
Please, calm down! Folks!
We gotta find Victor!
The Frankensteins head out the front door.
Victor!
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 They bolt down the sidewalk.
Let's go get that thing! It attacked my daughter!
It tried to eat my Raymond!
As Mr. and Mrs. Frankenstein continue on, Mr. Chambers leads a mob of neighbors after them. A sign on a gate reads, "Keep out, miniature golf course closed." Sparky scurries under the gate and dashes beneath the archway of a tower-shaped obstacle. As he ascends a hill topped with a windmill, Victor arrives at the gate.
Sparky!
Sparky glances back before proceeding into the wooden windmill. Victor gives the padlocked gates a shake, then slips through a wide gap between the wrought iron bars. He makes a beeline for the hill as his parents reach the gate.
Sparky! Victor!
Victor! Don't go in there!
Victor enters the windmill. The frenzied mob draws closer. As Victor crawls through the shadowy windmill, his parents manage to open the gates. He gazes keenly upward.
Victor!
Scooting through a hatchway, he discovers Sparky lying on an upper platform.
Victor!
The neighbors arrive, many brandishing makeshift weapons. Victor scurries to a railing and peers down at the posse, their bright flashlight beams striking his face.
Victor! Come down from
Victor!
There!
Carrying a lit match, Mr. Chambers peers into the windmill. As he slips and falls forward, the windmill catches fire. Victor joins Sparky inside. As Mr. Frankenstein hurries forward, the floorboards beneath his son give way and he plunges. With flames engulfing the exterior and smoke filling the interior, Sparky licks the unconscious Victor's face. Joining his wife, Mr. Frankenstein takes her in his arms. As Sparky calmly lays a paw on Victor's face, flames consume more of the windmill. Suddenly, movement appears in the entrance as Sparky drags Victor down a ramp. His father lays him on the ground away from the blaze.
Victor,
you okay?
A windmill blade founders, then another comes crashing down near Sparky. As the whole top of the windmill collapses, Victor staggers to his feet. While he stares at Sparky beneath the pile of rubble, Mr. Chambers encircles Anne in his arms.
You saved the kid's life.
The distraught Victor crumples forward. Later, on a dirt lot, he sets Sparky down in the center of a circle of parked cars, their headlights shining.
All right, all right! The kid did it before, and we can do it again!
I'll go get the car.
It's gonna be okay, Sparky.
Hands clamp jumper cables to car battery terminals.
Come on, come on! We gotta save this dog!
Mr. Chambers shuts the hood of a car, then he, Mr. Frankenstein, and others carry the cables over to Sparky, who lies covered in fabric. The cables get clamped to the motionless dog's neck bolts.
Now?
Now! All right, everybody, start your engines! This is it.
As Mrs. Frankenstein and the neighbors start up the car's engines, the vehicle's headlights blink. Mr. Chambers shakes his head while Victor's dad kneads his knuckles together.
Please, please, let this work.
Victor casts an uncertain glance over his shoulder. The view switches between the shrouded dog, Victor's parents, Mr. Chambers, and finally Rose.
Give it more juice!
The headlight's illumination intensifies, casting its glow on Victor's anxious face while his dad keeps his hands pressed together. As Sparky stirs beneath the fabric and lifts his head, Victor rushes over and hugs him.
Oh, you're mad!
You can't believe it!
A poodle peeks from a car window. All black save for two streaks of white adorning the teased-out fur on her head, she approaches Sparky. As he licks her face, energy crackles around the metal bolts in his neck.
It's love at first sight.
As Sparky pants and wags his tail, the electricity shimmers, forming two words, the end. Audio description by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Nicole Zanzarella.